Blog Talk Radio.
Flavor Living Radio. This is Brian, your host. It's Monday, September the 9th at 3 p.m. We're here on Blog Talk Radio, and today I want to welcome everybody. We're going to talk about unusual restaurants, unique, unusual, and just awesome restaurants in the United States. We're going to go from the Midwest to the East Coast to the West Coast and talk about really just when you go to these restaurants, you're going to tell your friends about it. So, first, we'd like to go to Boulder, Colorado. I haven't been there, but I've heard a lot about Boulder, Colorado, and there's a lot of news going on there. Now, this restaurant was featured in the Man vs. Food, and this is called the Wing King Challenge. I want you guys to listen and see if you guys can do this challenge here, you know?
Okay, welcome to Flavor Living Radio. We have Nina on our line from Denver, Colorado, correct?
It's Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder, my fault. Boulder, Colorado. Can you tell us about your unique restaurant there in Colorado, the West End Tavern?
Sure. So basically, we are known for our barbecue and also as a beer and bourbon bar.
Okay.
We have 27 different craft beers on tap,
okay,
as well as over 120 very unique whiskeys and bourbons.
Okay.
On top of the fact that we're mostly known for our Wing King Challenge, which will air on Man vs. Food from time to time.
Okay.
And basically, the challenge is going to be to eat 50 wings in 30 minutes.
Wait a minute, so 50 wings
mm-hmm.
in 30 minutes.
Yes, that's correct.
Wow, that's no joke. So have many people took that challenge and or do they get to pick the, if it's how hot it is or if it's, how does that work out? Do you choose the flavors of the wings?
Sure. The wings actually come as a standard buffalo. It's going to be closer to like a medium style sauce.
Okay.
And we have lots and lots of challengers that come in quite a bit. I would say that approximately 1 in 10 is actually successful. And it's not that the wings are so much spicy. It's just that they're really big and meaty. So the success rate's kind of low, but it's always an entertaining to watch.
Now, the guy on Man vs. Food, his television show, has he come in for the challenge, you know, to take this on?
Yeah, he was actually, I want to say, our second challenger. It originally started with our previous GM, and he was successful, and then Adam tried it, and he only completed 34 wings, I believe it was.
Wow, so even the television show guy tried it, and he was cutting up. Now, if somebody completes 50 wings
mm-hmm.
in 30 minutes, what do they get? I know you guys have to give them a prize. You know.
So they get their very own Wing King Challenge T-shirt.
Okay.
It only goes to winners. We obviously take care of the cost of the Wing King Challenge itself.
Okay.
We put their picture up in our hallway. And we like to say that they get bragging rights as being a successful Wing King challenger, as well as a dozen free wings on another visit.
Wow, so they're like in the Hall of Fame, kind of like.
You
wow.
can joke around and say that, absolutely.
Right? Well, wow. Well, if I'm in Boulder, and I got this right, Boulder, Colorado, I wanna take this home, the challenge here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so much fun, and I really enjoy it a lot of times when there's many people around. If somebody's getting close, all of a sudden you hear the whole room chanting, and sometimes you'll hear somebody play the Eye of the Tiger. It becomes like this whole fun scene. And
yeah, wow.
It's a really good time.
Wow. Well, Nia, thank you for being on Play for Living. And do you have a website, or do you want everybody to know where they can find you there in Boulder, Colorado?
Yeah, absolutely. We can be found if you just go to www.thewestendtavern.com.
Okay. Well, thank you for being on Play for Living.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. You have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Okay. All right. Bye.
The Wing King Challenge. Does anybody want to take that challenge on in Boulder, Colorado? That's 50 wings in 30 minutes. 50 wings. I mean, it's football season. I mean, I think I could do it in 15 minutes. I'm pushing it. Now, our next restaurant is in the West Coast, San Francisco, and talking about this, let's say you were coming home from work at 6 p.m. during dinner time, and all your electricity was off, and you're ready to eat dinner, and it's complete dark. You know, you eat late, maybe you're coming in, and it's about 10 p.m. and you want to eat, it's dark. And this restaurant, I want to stop right there. I just want to give you an intro for this restaurant.
To Groupon, I heard about a restaurant called Opaque where you can eat in complete darkness. So I sent our receptionist Jeannie to try it, but since my writer Amy is afraid of the dark, I sent her too. Here's what happened.
Hey, Alan, since I signed up for Groupon, I get a ton of dining deals right here in my neighborhood and across the country every single day, just like here at this place. It's called Opaque. You eat in complete darkness so that your sense of taste is enhanced. And since we all know how well our reporter Amy does in complete darkness, I invited her to join me.
So we're doing this in total darkness?
Yep, let's go.
Jeannie, I don't like this. This is insane. Oh my God.
Okay. So we're almost at your table. Come on.
Okay, Jeannie.
I'm right here.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm right here.
Okay.
And here's your chair.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. We have on the line Alexander from the West Coast, from San Francisco. And hello, Alexander. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Yes. Can you tell us the unique restaurant, OPEC, correct?
Yes, Opaque.
Opaque. Can you tell us about Opaque? And this is so new for everyone to hear. So tell us how your concept started and everything.
Okay, so, we're a small U.S.-based company. Dining in the Dark has been around for, it's a relatively new concept. The original, I guess, where it kind of came from was somewhere in Europe, specifically in Zurich, as a way to create dialogue in the dark and to kind of like a social experiment. Obviously, capitalism kind of took over and, people decided, hey, there's a business here. Our restaurant started in Los Angeles.
Okay.
At a pop-up location as a concept somewhere around like 2006. We then moved into two separate permanent locations, one in Santa Monica and one in San Francisco. Our restaurant is kind of geared towards providing an interesting and unique dark dining experience. All of our wait staff is either partially or completely visually impaired.
Wow.
And it kind of guides you through, a three-course dinner. In pitch black, complete darkness. Our dining rooms are probably, some of the darkest rooms people will ever see in their lives.
So basically, dining in the dark, you get to eat in complete, as far as eat is completely dark when you eat.
Correct. And so we, all of our waitstaff kind of provide, you know, perspective of what it feels like to be guided through a normal dinner, but just in complete darkness. You know, they say that for most people, the experience is kind of what you make it. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you want to feel, everything kind of becomes a little bit more intense in the dining room. But, you know, in the normal world, sighted people would be guiding blind people. But in our restaurant, we have blind people guide sighted people. And so it definitely allows, you know, a different type of dialogue to happen and a different type of, it adds to the experience as far as being led by someone who lives their life like the dining room.
Wow, so basically giving up control, basically giving up your senses and control and trust. You have to have a lot of trust.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think that the sense of adventure is most definitely there for, you know, for our guests.
What types of different dishes and entrees do you have there as far as the type of food there?
So our food, you know, I like to categorize our food as New American.
Okay.
We have a fairly small menu, and I think we like to keep it that way. I think, you know, things are obviously, you know, intensified in the dark, so
correct.
It's very, you know, gastronomical or going very, you know, crazy as far as like fear factor type food. It doesn't come across well, so we want people to kind of, you know, have familiar things but not know what's coming to them as far as how they experience and taste, you know, the food. So basic bistro dishes like steak and mashed potatoes, you know what I mean, all of our menu items do have seasonal sides and ingredients that change. And we do offer mystery options. So there's, you know, mystery options that kind of allow someone to really let go of control. And instead of, you know, looking at a menu and saying, I want to eat this in the dark, you know, we choose for you. And we say, that's what it is in the dark. So that also kind of provides an interesting perspective for people to, you know, who are willing to kind of take that leap of faith, so to speak.
Now, that's every, as far as, is that concluding as far as the drinks that is too kind of like, do they know exactly what they're, do they pre-order their drinks ahead of time, or they kind of know that's kind of too mystery?
So you can order a mystery drink, or you can, you know, pre-order whatever you want, a glass of wine or a cocktail.
Okay.
And no, we do take your order in the light, and then after that we pair you with a server who guides you through the rest of the experience in the dining room.
Unbelievable. Now, what have been some of the reactions or that you've gotten so far since you guys, how long have you guys been open up since?
So the San Francisco location has been around for about like 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
You know, the company itself has kind of been ongoing for since like 2006.
Okay.
We definitely have kind of gone through our trial phases of how, you know, how we want our restaurant to be, to reach, you know, our guests and what the experience feels like. But for the most part, you know, when people come into the restaurant every day, they're very excited to come in for, you know, special occasions, anniversaries, birthdays.
Okay.
And when they come out, they definitely come out changed.
Wow.
And the impact, you know, the dinner, you know, you lose track of time in the dark, so the dinners typically take anywhere from 2 to 3 hours.
Well, because they're just basically just the senses, enjoying the senses and the moment and the different tastes they're having. You know, this is like first time experience in their life, you know.
Mm-hmm. Things definitely move at your pace as far as time, but for the most part, most people lose track of time and things take way longer than they really expect.
What's a story? I know you have had a story of a unique couple. Just a unique story that's happened there.
For a unique couple?
Yeah. Like a
happened?
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Like a unique story that's happened there, or something that's happened, or a celebrity that came in, or has it been anything that's been like, wow, you know, just because I know it's an experience also to the staff working there too.
Absolutely. I mean, when you rely, you know, in the dining room, everything is based off of sound, right? What you hear and your other senses, like taste and touch. You know, people, for the most part, people don't really expect, you know, to know what they're going to feel like, you know, before they enter the restaurant. So you can't really tell someone this is what it's going to feel like. It's kind of what, you know, however you perceive it.
Okay.
Obviously, people have, like, panic attacks and leave because, you know, they're claustrophobic or dark. So that definitely happens from time to time. For the most part, we try and create, like, a caring environment that allows people to feel comfortable and trust their server. But as far as, like, celebrities, like, you know, maybe I think sometime last year, like in September, you know, Tyra Banks came in.
No way.
And, you know, I mean, it was definitely, you know, it's just, for me, it was definitely, you know, an experience to have her. It was an honor because, you know, she's an awesome person. And,
right.
You know, she came in, and obviously people who are celebrities need to get out of the limelight. And dining at a restaurant, you know, usually means that there's a lot of, like, notoriety and craziness, you know, that kind of goes on, you know, with paparazzi. And
right, exactly.
So having the ability to, you know, become, you know, anonymous and to kind of separate yourself from, you know, what you see and everything that kind of goes on visually, you know, as far as social cues and who you're dining with, the conversations that you have, you can go to a different place. And so, you know, for us, I mean, many other, you know, people have kind of come to the restaurant as far as celebrities go, but for us, you know, every single person perceives the experience differently, as I kind of reiterated, and you know what I mean. It's about that genuine interaction with how you feel, you know, and the sense of adventure, and you know, the excitement and the uniqueness of the dining experience.
Because you're thinking, you know, as far as a celebrity or notoriety, that person who is a celebrity, I mean, they're experiencing it down to earth, like their senses, like the person, the couple next door. You know, they're all their senses are equal, you know, when they come into your restaurant, you know. Well,
yeah, most definitely. Like, it's when you're in the dark, everyone is kind of the same color. There's no, you know, for us, we like to create, like, obviously a very open and safe environment. So, you know, we want people to feel how they want to feel. If you want to feel excited, if you want to feel emotional, if you want to celebrate your anniversary, it's kind of like, it's definitely a place to bring someone, you know, who you're not afraid to be intimate with as far as conversation. And it also is really important to bring someone that you love and really care about, because things can get really awkward if you don't have a really genuine conversation to kind of build off of.
Wow. Now, can you tell everybody where to find, as far as your locations in the United States, and also can you give a website for people to find you on the web, on the internet?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're featured on OpenTable, opentable.com.
Okay.
You can search through the OpenTable for Opaque Dining in the Dark. You'll find both of our locations, one in Santa Monica, California, and the other one in San Francisco.
Okay.
We also have a website. It's called, the name of the website is www.darkdining.com.
Okay.
There's just, you know, pieces of information, you know, as far as the restaurant goes. It kind of gives you, like, a little introduction. You can also find us on Yelp. We definitely love Yelp, and we love people who kind of share their experiences through that.
I noticed that's getting popular. The Yelp is getting really popular.
Absolutely. For me, the best, you know, you can't describe this experience. For me, the most effective form of, you know, like, the best and most effective form of telling people what it's like is just word of mouth and really gaining, you know, a personal experience.
Yes.
And really sharing with it, you know, personally sharing that experience with someone directly. And like I said, everyone sees it differently.
Wow. Well, Alexander, thank you for coming on Flavor Living Radio and telling us about Opaque. I said it right this time, Opaque. and coming on, telling us about Dining in the Dark, a very unique and very positive and sense, you know, for your senses. So thank you for coming on our show.
Thank you so very much.
All right. Thank you.
Unusual, unique restaurants in the United States, and we had Dinner in the Dark. I hope you guys liked the interview. It was really neat to hear how they came up with the concept. Now, our next restaurant is in Manhattan, New York. Do you remember that group, ABBA? Now, imagine you're eating at a restaurant, and you hear the singers singing ABBA songs. So, this is what it would sound like.
I'm a birthday in mine, honey, I'm still free. Put a chance on me, when you need me, you'll let me know I'll be your ground. We got no place to put you when you're down. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, not one, not two, not even three, but four ABBA songs in 3 minutes. Here we go. And the lights are low.
Okay, welcome. We are in New York City, in Manhattan, correct? Manhattan?
Manhattan.
Yes, in Manhattan. And this restaurant is called Elaine's Stardust Diner. Can you tell us about Elaine's Stardust Diner?
Ellen's Stardust Diner.
Can you tell us about Ellen's Stardust Diner?
Ellen's Stardust Diner is classic American diner cuisine. It is a 50s theme retro.
Okay.
We have, it's a diner that serves chicken pot pie, Monte Cristo sandwich, cheeseburger. We have ice cream bar, malt, milkshake.
Wow, so like the 1950s.
It is our retro 1950s theme diner.
Yes. Now, I heard the one thing that you guys do, there's some entertainment there. What type of entertainment do you guys provide for people that come there?
Ellen Stardust Diner also featured our singing week stuff. And they do sing 1950s, 1960s, show tunes, classic oldies, Broadways.
Wow. Wow, that's really cool. So you're there, you're enjoying the 1950s, and then you hear the music around you.
Yes, sir.
Wow, I mean, have you had different special guests come there from New York City, that's come there to dine?
It is. We have a group coming in from all over the world, beside New York. As a matter of fact, we had BBC World just to take us 3 minutes ago.
Wow. Yeah, because you can't find that. You go to a restaurant and everybody's singing, you know, so... Wow. Now, were you the one who started the concept yourself?
No, that is actually Ellen Hart Strom.
Okay.
She's the owner, and she's also known as Miss Subway.
Wow. Okay. Wow, that's very unique. So, you do different 1950 songs, and are you open 24 hours a day, or...
We open 7 days a week.
Okay.
We start singing 7 in the morning. It goes up to midnight, non-stop singing.
So from 7 till midnight is nonstop.
Nonstop.
Wow. So is this one singer or the whole staff sings at once? Or
Enter Stuff is the singing with stuff. And I would like to mention the two, not the singing with stuff, these are all actor and actress. They are all aspiring actor and actress looking forward to be on Broadway.
Wow.
I also have someone recently, they are on Broadway, Zach Resnick, who plays Sky on Mamma Mia.
Oh, okay.
I have Marla Mandela. She is in Cinderella.
Wow. So you have already, it's helped out many people just to make it, just the practice and the fun and interacting with other personalities.
You got it. Yes.
Wow. Could you tell us, like if I'm in New York City or if anyone who lives in New York City, could you tell us how to find you? Do you have a contact or any type of internet connect, website?
Yes, our website is ellenstardustdiner.com.
Okay.
And you can find all the information in there.
Okay. Well, wow, when I come to New York City, I've been there a couple times. And when I go there, it's in Manhattan, right?
It's Midtown Manhattan. We're at 51st and Broadway.
Okay.
And also, our landmark is we're right next to Winter Garden Theater, which is where Mamma Mia plays.
Okay.
In Theater District, Heart of Theater District, New York City.
Okay. So do you do some singing yourself?
No, I don't.
No? You don't do any singing? Okay, well, all right. Well, thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio. All right?
I think Ellen started that, and we appreciate it.
Okay, you too. All right, now. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, bye.
Okay, we're back, and that's as far as the Ellen Stardust Diner in Manhattan, New York, New York City. Now, our next restaurant, I was looking at a list, and there was the topic said secret restaurants. And I didn't know what this was, but there are such things as secret restaurants. Basically, there's no sign on the outside of the restaurant. You have to be invited to the restaurant as far as invitation only. And they are kind of like a trend, all over the U.S. They're popping up all over United States. And you've got to know a friend who knows a friend about these restaurants. So this restaurant is called, I like the name, it's called Din Din. Did you check out that name, Din Din? So here is the secret restaurant.
Okay, we're here on Flavor Living Radio, and we're with a restaurant called Din Din. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. Can you tell us about your restaurant?
Sure. So Din Din, we just moved into a permanent home. We were in late April, and we, before that, for like 6 years, were just kind of this supper club that bounced around to different venues in Portland. And now we have a permanent home, and basically we just kind of host dinner party style of dinners on Friday and Saturday evenings, where it's by reservation. Everybody arrives at the same time, and we always greet folks with a little, something to drink and something to nibble on, and then kind of just mingle around for a bit and then sit down to dinner. And everybody enjoys the same menu, and we always have, wine pairings or wine on the table or spirits or beer or whatever. And so we do that on the weekends, and then we also have a brunch that you can drop into on Sundays from 10 to 3, and we do, breakfast, lunch, and espresso. From 7:30 in the morning to 5:30 at night on the weekdays.
I was looking at it, and there's a trend going on about secret restaurants or like restaurants that they don't have any sign in the front of it, and it's very secret. And there are many of them in the U.S. and overseas of secret restaurants.
Yeah, well, for us, we were kind of a little bit, before we got our permanent home, we never wanted to be, secret or exclusive like a club, but you know, you had to hear about it to know to make a reservation.
That's true. That's true.
And we are certainly off, now that we're in our permanent home, we're certainly off the beaten path. We're in this odd little industrial area that actually has quite a bit of manufacturing companies, but we're also surrounded by like an art school and a bunch of design companies. Yeah, so it's actually kind of quite vibrant around here, but yeah, it's kind of off, you know, off the beaten path, off of, you know, sort of the busier roads. And so if you find us, yeah, we do have a sign, and we welcome anybody to come, but it does kind of feel a little bit more like maybe being in someone's home is what folks tell me a lot, rather than, you know, just kind of a traditional coffee shop during the week or restaurant during the evening.
And you had mentioned it's invitation only. How would a person be invited? How does that work out?
Oh, it's not invitation only. We just send out invitations that kind of give all of the details of what we're thinking for that particular din-din. We kind of always put together a menu and change the total look of the room and the decor sort of based on some central inspiration. So if you're on our mailing list, you get those. We just send those out. And otherwise, you know, you can just drop in and see us and we'll tell you when we're doing what dinners.
That's very unique. Very unique.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of moving parts, but I think once people kind of come into the space, it all makes sense.
Wow. Well, if I'm in Portland, I've got to get on the mailing list here. And
yeah, that'd be great.
You know, try and do, I like your name, Din Din.
Thanks.
That's a really catchy name.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, we like to like sort of pull out all the stops and really like think of all the little details for guests. But at the same time, we like to keep things light and have a lot of levity. And so, you know, our style lies somewhere between like elegant and tongue in cheek. And the name is obviously very tongue in cheek.
Well, thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us on.
All right.
Good luck with the rest of the show. Thank you.
We're back. That was Din Din and Secret Restaurants. I mean, wow. Now, listen, when I used to live in Myrtle Beach, there was this place a lot of tourism would go to, and it was, you know, when you go there, they would bring their children or families, and it was a unique restaurant. And just hear the introduction of this one.
Lift up your voices, my friends. The celebration has begun. Now, tonight, we shall watch in wonder as armored knights on magnificent horses vie in honor of your kingdoms. Along the way, display artistry and horsemanship, skill in competition, and dauntless courage in battle. The hundreds of knights in service to the king petitioned his majesty to hold a great tournament. In one passage of arms after another, these six arose as the finest in the art of war. From the western marches come the champions of Castilla, Santiago, and Navarre, the Red Knights!
All right, we are here with a unique restaurant, very unique, and they are called Medieval Times. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, how are you?
Okay, tell us about Medieval Times.
Well, Medieval Times is a dinner and a tournament. You come down and you get are served a four-course meal while you watch a tournament between six of our knights. And these knights come from different areas of the realm, and they compete against each other in order to find out who's going to be the champion. And through this, they have jousting tournaments and different skills on horseback, as well as hand-to-hand combat in order to find out who that champion's going to be.
Wow. So, I mean, it's like you just kind of transform back into, I guess, from the, you just transfer back into the to those times, the jousting.
Exactly.
And, wow.
Exactly. You don't even get silverware during the show. You actually have to eat the four-course meal with your hands. So it's kind of entertaining that way as well.
No, so even the food, the different types of what's on the, what, it's even the food comes from that time too? What type of foods are everybody eat?
We try to stay with the medieval period. For that, we serve tomato bisque soup with a piece of garlic bread. You also get half of a lemon roasted chicken. You get a barbecue pork spare rib, herb roasted potato wedges, and an apple pastry for dessert. And you get 2 rounds of non-alcoholic beverages served in a chalice.
A chalice. Ah. Okay, wow. So now when the people are chalicing, I know the audience are so, I know they're so into it, just the horseback riding and the knights and everything. Now, are they trained? Or have they been training for many tournaments like that? Or how does that work out? Just to be hired to become a knight on a horse.
Oh, well, the hiring process is a little out of the ordinary. You usually have to be recommended for it.
Hmm.
After that, then you do go through training at our Texas location, which is where our headquarters are.
Mm-hmm.
You're trained through the rigorous process of horse riding, horse husbandry, as well as in the hand-to-hand combat that takes place.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Now I remember I lived in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I saw a medieval times in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Where are your locations?
We have several. There's actually 9 in North America.
Okay.
We, of course, have that one located in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, we have one in Buena Park, California, one in Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
One in Dallas, Texas, one in Atlanta, Georgia, one in Baltimore, Maryland, as well as Lyndhurst, New Jersey, Kissimmee, Florida, and even Schaumburg, Illinois.
That's a good option to choose from right there. Wow. And your website, what is your website?
It's medievaltimes.com.
Medievaltimes.com. Well, I've got to go to this restaurant, you know what I mean? Because I've always wanted to, you know what I mean? I saw that movie, Knight's Tale, you know. And just to see it for real, you know, just to see it for real, that would be good, you know.
Yeah, of course. It's a lot of fun. Everybody gets really into it.
So, wow. Okay, well, thank you for being on Flavor Living, and what a unique concept. This is, wow. U.S. is creative. USA is creative. I mean, all over the place. Yeah, very creative. All right. You take care. Take care.
You too.
All right.
Thou knowest the time I bid you good food. Oh, I got carried away. I was listening to Medieval Times. I got carried away. Okay. Now, on to our next restaurant. It's in Minnesota. It's called the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. Now, this is a large theater, and just check this out.
Okay. We're on with the Chanhassen Dinner Theater, correct?
Yes.
How are you doing? Can you tell us about your place?
Chanhassen Dinner Theater. We're in Chanhassen, Minnesota. It's a suburb of Minneapolis, and it is the largest professional dinner theater in the country, and it's also the largest privately owned restaurant in Minnesota.
Okay.
Our kitchen is equipped to handle about, 1,600 people at any given night, because we have a 570-something seat main dinner theater where everybody needs to be served within 2 hours.
1,600.
Yeah.
So, like, how many chefs are back there? How many different?
We have one executive chef. We have a sous chef, and then I think there's at least a dozen other people who they spend all day prepping food and getting it ready, but it's all prepared right. It's not like a buffet style, but it's all plated and it's all table service.
So basically 600 people can fit into your dinner theater, 600 people.
We have two other theaters and then a pub, and we oftentimes will have weddings happening at the same time.
Now, what type of theaters or different plays that you guys put there in Minnesota? What type of plays you guys do?
Well, it is... in the main dinner theater, our biggest theater, it's all big Broadway musicals. We're doing Joseph and Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat right now. We have Fiddler on the Roof coming up after that.
Okay.
And then Little Mermaid. And then in our other theater, we have, it's a concert, right now it's a concert venue, so we have two to three different concerts every month that go into there. They also have the option to buy dinner, so we have to feed them as well. And then we have a pub attached to our building that the kitchen also serves, and that's open every single day.
Now, what type of dinners are they as far as what's on the menu? They can have steaks or...
Yeah, so when they purchase a ticket, they the dinner comes with their ticket purchase.
Okay.
And they get a choice of, I think it's 8 or 9 different things to choose from. So there's a sirloin steak, there's a chicken dish, there's always a fish dish, salmon, shrimp pesto.
Ah.
A couple of kids menu things.
Okay. Nice.
So it's a pretty extensive menu.
Wow. Now, you know, like where I live in Hampton Roads, they have a mystery dinner theater, but it's small. But 600 people, that's like, that's huge.
So we'll oftentimes have 500 people in our main theater. There could be 100 to 200 people in another theater. There's the other theater, the Playhouse Theater, which does a comedy, like a Whose Line Is It Anyway comedy act, has about 125 people down there. And then we have whoever's in the pub, and then we also can serve a group of 200, 300 wedding party at the same time.
Wow.
And a good, I think about 60 or 70% of those people need to be fed within 2 hours or the show starts with them still eating.
Wow, that's a lot of servers. I know they're like going.
Yes, we have a huge serving staff that just keeps it moving constantly.
Wow. Now, could you tell everybody where to find your website and how to find it?
It's online at www.chanhassendt.com. Yes.
Well, thanks for being on Flavor Living, and that's incredible. 600 people in theater?
Yes, it is. Woo. Quite an operation.
Wow. All right, Minnesota. Okay, thank you, man.
No problem.
All right.
We're back to Chan Hassen Dinner Theater in Minnesota. 600 people. Now, we're going to go now to the West Coast. In Nevada, Las Vegas, the Mandalay Bay Casino. Now, have you ever heard of Wine Angels? Check this out.
Hello, this is Brian from Flavor Living Radio. We are talking live from Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're talking with a restaurant called The Ariel. Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. Wow. Could you tell us about The Ariel there in Las Vegas? About they're really neat what they have there as far as they're in Nevada.
Well, we're progressive American cuisine, which is American food using French technique cooking.
Okay.
We've been in Mandalay Bay on the Strip for almost 15 years, and the most unique part of our restaurant is that we have a four-story wine tower where we keep our young red wine, and we have wine angels, girls, who put a harness on and attach to cables and fly up and down the tower to retrieve the wine.
No way. So they acrobat and bring the wine down? And wow. Now, I heard it's like the largest Yes.
Yes, it's 4 stories high, which is the largest currently. And our girls stock the tower as well as bringing bottles down. Anytime a guest orders a bottle of Young Red, we do have 3 cellars in total, but a lot of our wine is stored in the tower. It can hold 10,000 bottles.
10,000 bottles, that's a lot of bottles. Wow. Now, when you go there, when people go to The Ariel, do they call in and kind of specialize their wine they're wanting? Or that's a big wine list. So how does that work out when somebody wants to order a special wine?
Well, it's just like any other restaurant. We bring you a wine list to the table, and our wine list is all on an iPad system. Our restaurant in total has 60,000 bottles of wine, about 2,900 different selections, so it is a very large wine list, and we have three amazing psalms that go around to the tables and help you figure out exactly what you want on the iPad. And then as soon as we have your choice, we decide which cellar it comes out of, depending on which wine it is, and then we send our guests to retrieve it.
That's amazing. Yes, I was looking at some of the pictures online of as far as the wine cellar when you go in, and you're just like amazed just to how tall it is, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's glass and steel, and it's 55 degrees in there, and it's really a beautiful kind of backdrop for a really nice dinner.
Wow, so you guys must be in the Guinness Book of World Records, I'm thinking, right?
I'm not sure, actually, about that, but we are featured on tons of TV shows and newspapers, magazines, things like that. The tower has appeared quite a bit in media.
Wow. Okay. That's great. Now, for the listeners on Flavor Living Radio, could you tell us where to reach you on the web and tell us how to get to, well, Mandalay Bay is huge. That's a huge casino. Well, no, I know. Tell us how to get there?
Absolutely. You can visit our website at www.charliepalmer.com. Charlie Palmer is our owner and master chef. And then you can find all of his restaurants on there. Just find the link under restaurants for Oriole Las Vegas. Or you can call us at 702-632-7401. And we are located in Mandalay Bay, which is right on the Las Vegas Strip.
Wow. Well, thank you for visiting Flavor Living Radio, and I want to make sure I see this tower. That's a tall tower right there. 10,000 bottles. Wow. Come on. All right.
Yes, you have to come visit.
All right. Well, thank you for visiting us. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Mandalay Bay Casino. That's a tall tower. Now, all of the restaurants that we're having on the show today, if you go to flavorliving.com, it's our food blog. We will feature a video, so you'll be able to see the restaurant, you know, with your own eyes. You'll see what they're doing, you know. But that's flavorliving.com. Now, our next organization or restaurant, it's called Pay As You Go, and here, basically, I don't want to give too much away. Just listen to the, see what you think about the Pay As You Go.
Okay, we are in Oregon. How are you doing, Mr. Peterson from Oregon? And you have a really unique concept restaurant. Can you tell us about it? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Things are beautiful in Oregon, as always.
Yes.
I'm involved with the nonprofit organization called One World Everybody Eats, and we are an organization that supports cafes throughout the country and hopefully soon around the world to set up nonprofit restaurants that use a formula called pay what you can or pay what you want, rather than setting prices for people and being a for-profit restaurant. This allows us to serve all people in the community delicious, healthy, in many cases organic, fresh food, local food, at a price that they can afford.
Well, so I could, like if myself, I would come into one of the cafes in the United States, one of the cafes, and I'd say, well, I think this meal here is worth, you know, $15, and then you would pay $15?
Yes, if you decide that's what it's worth to you, you pay $15. If you think it's worth $5, you pay $5. If you want to help other people eat, you might pay $30.
Ah, okay. So the choices are now. What types of? I know you mentioned a lot of healthy foods. Are all the menus at all the different cafes different?
Yeah, each of the cafes is an independent entity. They set up in their own local community, supported by the community, and they set their own menus, their own structure. So we have some that are small that have just a few tables.
Okay.
That serve lunch only. Others are full service restaurants. There's one national chain, Panera Bread.
Yes, I know Panera Bread. I know them.
They have set up a nonprofit called Panera Cares, and they have now opened 5 restaurants in the U.S. in various cities. There's one in Portland, St. Louis, Michigan, and there's one on the East Coast in development. So they have that same model, but they use the Panera Cares menu, but they don't put prices on it.
Wow. That would just the cost of eating would just, it would just give a good feeling, you know, when you're eating, you know?
Yeah, it's all about the community. Each one of the local entities, you know, has great support from their community. They use a lot of volunteers. If somebody can't pay anything, they can volunteer and work in the kitchen for an hour and get a meal. They can come in and help out at different times. So most of them are volunteer-oriented, volunteer-supported.
Okay.
They may pay a limited number of staff, a cook or something. But in general, they get donations, they get paying, they have volunteers, and it becomes a very community operation, both in terms of serving and in terms of the people that come to eat.
Wow. So the menu would have you serve basic breakfast, lunch, and dinner at most of the cafes?
Again, each cafe is different. There are some that do breakfast, some that do just lunches, some that are open all day long. Some are coffee houses with, specialty soups and things. Some actually have fairly extensive menus.
Wow. Okay.
A lot of them just, rely on what comes in that day from the local farmers and local community, and then they make the menu based on what food is available. And so it does, sometimes the menus vary every day in one of our cafes. So there's no fixed formula. It's really what the local community can set up and what they can make work for their community. But they all offer, great, healthy variety of food for the people that come in.
Just awesome. Wow, just awesome. So you're saying you're going to be in the United States and overseas as well? And outside global?
Yeah, we are talking with some people in Europe right now that are looking to start something up. So I wouldn't be surprised that we had a cafe opened within the next year somewhere outside the U.S. Right now, there's about 30 cafes that are operating and at least 30 more in development. So we're expected in the next 4 or 5 years there could be a couple of hundred operating in the U.S.
Well, when I saw the pay as you go, that caught my attention. That's a very new concept. It'd be great to be here in Hampton Roads and in this area of Virginia. You know, I'm always promoting the new concepts. Come to Virginia.
I'm sure that there's somebody in your community that would like to be part of this. If there is, people can go to the website.
Okay.
OneWorldEverybodyEats.org.
Okay.
And look it up, get the information. We have a lot of resources to help local communities that want to start up a cafe.
Okay.
We do an annual convention every year in January.
Okay.
This year it'll be in San Antonio, Texas, the week of Martin Luther King weekend in January.
Hmm.
And a lot of people from the different existing cafes, people looking to start cafes, will be there. We expect somewhere between 100 and 200 people at this convention, all representing community groups from all over the country.
Wow, learning different ideas and taking notes and bringing it back to their community.
Right, sharing ideas, sharing experiences, talking about the ups and downs and what they can do to make it more successful. So we do this every year, and it's become a very big part of our community.
Just very good supporting concept. Very, very good cause. Very good. Very good concept. I just want to thank you for being on Flavor Living Radio. And you're from Oregon, so are you an Oregon Duck fan? Are you one of the Ducks, the Duck fan, tailgating? You like the Ducks? You like the Ducks?
Yeah. I was actually went to high school and college in the Midwest, and I'm a Purdue graduate, so I'm actually a Big Ten Purdue fan.
Okay. All right, the Boilermakers.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for being on our station and sharing the pay-as-you-go restaurant concept for our show.
You're welcome.
On Flavor Living.
You're welcome. We're excited about it, and we think it's a growing opportunity in many different communities. And if people are interested in exploring it, again, oneworldeverybodyeats.com, and get more information there. You can contact us, and we can follow up with all kinds of support services.
Ah, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you, though.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
Pay as you go. That was pay as you go. That was in Oregon. Now I had to put in a local restaurant in Sandbridge, Virginia, right outside of Virginia Beach, and to bring in an unusual restaurant locally here in Hampton Roads. So here's one in our area.
Okay, we are here on we're back, and I would like to give an interview here locally in Hampton Roads. As you know, you've been hearing different restaurants from all over the United States, but here we have a restaurant, and here in Virginia, in Sandbridge, and near Virginia Beach, in the Virginia Beach area. Could you tell us, hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
All right, well, tell us the name of your restaurant and what is the unique theme there at your restaurant here locally in Hampton Roads.
We're a Sandbridge Island restaurant and bar, and we do all kind of seafood, pizza, raw bar. We got killer bar action.
Okay.
And we got a local spot. We're doing our big for the locals.
Now, I remember when I got there, I thought that was really neat was that there was money everywhere, everywhere on the ceiling. All of a sudden, can you tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. Big part of our restaurant is people come and we provide them with some markers, whatever they need to do some artwork on a dollar bill, leave their little mark, and we'll staple it on the wall for them, and we got it everywhere, just all over the restaurant.
So basically you walk in the entrance, and there's just, I mean, just...
And every wall is covered with dollar bills.
Dollar bills everywhere. Wow.
Everywhere.
Now, and you basically put whatever you want on the dollar bill?
Whatever you want.
Now, I'm just kind of curious. I don't know if you guys have calculated it. What's the estimate? Do you know the estimate of how much is there? Just
last summer, the count before the season started this year, we lost count somewhere around 3,500.
3,500. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow. That's good. So have you had different unique people sign different things on the dollar bills? Have they signed some really bizarre things?
There's phone numbers written up there. There's all kind of crazy stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool, man. I've never seen that. When I came there, I'd never seen that before. But I know they have two of them in Florida, I saw.
Right.
You know, but it was really cool to see here locally that we have one. And, you know, and we did. We took our dollar bill out, and we basically wrote, you know, I put there, you know, Bryant was here, you know. And I put my dollar bill up there, too. And I told my girlfriend she did the same thing. So that's really cool. All right. Well, thank you for coming on Flavor Living Radio. Now, can you tell us, you're in Sandbridge, Virginia, right near Virginia?
Yep. Sandbridge Beach, Virginia. It's located just south of the Virginia Beach oceanfront. And we don't like to be associated with Virginia Beach. We're Sandbridge. We're different.
All right, so you're Sandbridge. Okay, Sandbridge,
yes,
Virginia.
Right.
Okay, so right outside of Virginia Beach is Sandbridge.
Yes, sir.
Well, man, thank you for being on Flavor Living, and continue with the more people signing as far as dollar bills, you know. Wow.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Ben.
All right.
Bye.
Well, that's our show for today. We try to show you guys about unusual, neat restaurants around the U.S. Tune in next Monday for our next show on Flavor Living Radio on blogtalk.com.